Mr. Porter, stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Do we stand?
Pledge of Allegiance.
To.
And to the Republic.
For which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I've had no changes to the agenda as presented. Might I have a motion to accept the agenda?
Second.
Kelly? Aye.
Aye.
They all went up.
Some presentation, budget presentation and discussion. Yes, the.
This will be a short discussion. With the budget numbers coming out at the state level, we are kind of in a delay pattern waiting to find out what need and how that's going to be presented and when that's going to come out. There's talk of kind of in our first run, there's talk of waiting until September and kind of keeping your existing budget. It's kind of all over the place. Janice and I are going to finish what we can next week and see if we can't come up with a rubber bottom line that we can just tweak when we know what's happening from Albany. But that's where we are. And we talked about last time the tax cap's 2.4. That hasn't changed. And the amount of money that we can bring in with that tax cap is $150,000 of new money from last year. So I think we went over all that with the addition of a couple positions and the free breakfast and all that. We had that discussion. That's really what we all had up. So we'll create the budget with everything loaded in that we are hoping to have. And then if we do the slash, we can do that. So that's kind of where we are with the budget.
Health and Safety Committee.
I was sick, so I did not attend.
That was me.
I didn't attend either.
So what we did, we went over the accident reports and nobody had any questions about those. Let's see, that meeting was Wednesday night. So that was kind of on the eve of when the coronavirus really started to hit the local districts. We didn't have much of a discussion about that other than we were ramping up some cleaning and it had ordered hand sanitizers. I ordered 125 containers plus 12 big gallons of hand sanitizer, but of course there's a back weight for that. We also went over the, so what was the policy that we had to look over?
District safety
plan. Yeah, the district safety plan. So we went through that pretty much page by page. Just kind of, they had some questions on that. There were no major changes to that. We now have a student rep on the, which is nice, a high school student. Her father works here in the high school, so that was nice to have her input. And we were out of there in about 45 minutes. So that's really all I have on that.
Given that we're closed down, do you intend to still keep all that on order?
Because we're needed eventually anyway.
Well, and it looks like, I mean, the latest guidance wants to change again, which it could, is really what they're looking at, like an 18 month period of time where there's going to be some waves. Mm-hmm. So even if we don't need it now and we come back, that's not to say that we could find ourselves in a similar position in 6 months from now. So
It'll
still be good to have it.
We have a lot of the sanitizer stations around that get pump and get the stuff out, and we're putting more of those up. We're just waiting for the individual gel containers. So hopefully they'll be here. So yeah, good meeting.
Superintendent reporting. Okay.
Just a little bit of capital project update. So the fitness center here at the high school looks great. The rubber flooring is down. The artificial turf is down. The decaling on the floor is done. The painting is done. The lights are almost done. Window sills are done. So they're really closing in on finishing that in the next couple weeks, and then they'll finish the functional fitness room across the hallway and the Liberty Partnership room, and they'll be done. The bid for the crane that we're going to use to lift the air conditioning units onto the two gymnasiums is going to be Payne's Cranes here out of Bainbridge, so that's pretty neat. And they'll be here April 2nd, and I'll get people times, and we'll get out there and take pictures. So John Payne will be here. It's nice to have the local businesses represented in this project, so that's pretty exciting. As far as the capital project workers, they finished yesterday at 4 and will not be allowed back on campus until Monday morning at 6. They'll be limited to the fitness center, and they'll be limited to exterior work. And the thought process behind that is, as we clean areas in the buildings, we're then going to close them. And with the contractors traveling from all over the state to get here, we worried about new contamination after we cleaned areas. So they'll be limited to the fitness center. They'll be limited to the exterior work. So that's those are the updates that I have with the capital project. Moving on to coronavirus, that's really the bulk of everything I wanted to talk about. It has been, since last Thursday, pretty much all I've done, all weekend and evenings, and we've had superintendent meetings every day via Zoom for up to 3 hours. We've had district incident management team meetings here on campus several days, but I have to say the staff has been phenomenal. We had 3 buildings open today for parents to pick up materials from 11 to 7. A great turnout of parents. Everybody, staff-wise, showed up. We split the shifts. Everybody's been really, really accommodating and flexible and volunteering. The only group that I wanted to mention, we're getting a little pushback from some of the cleaning staff because they don't feel as though they should have to come in and work every day to clean. They're upset because we've got everybody else in the district on a rotation. So everybody comes in and works a shift. You may be answering office phones, packing bag lunches, putting student work together, collecting student work. Those are the things we've got people doing. The cleaning staff is angry. So Nancy Peck came to see me yesterday. They want extra compensation, overtime or comp time, which I said, no. I said, that's your job. I said, your job title is cleaner. So you may hear a little bit about that, but I wanted to talk to you and let you know that everybody's been phenomenal. And the parents have been phenomenal. There have been very positive posts on social media last day or two from some of the districts, sometimes more spirited posters. Really, really nice things about how organized we are, how everything's rolled out well. The staff is great. So, yeah.
What are we doing if parents can't get, don't come to pick up?
So we've kept track of the parents that couldn't come today, and we are going to make arrangements to deliver via bus. And Monday we start the meal portion of this from 11 to 12:30. We'll be doing anywhere between 800 and 1600 bag lunches every day. From 11 to 12:30 at any of the 3 buildings, a family can come and grab 2 bags per child that's enrolled at BG. You do not have to go to the building your child's enrolled in. So that starts Monday. We're gonna try that for a week. If we feel we're missing, you know, quite a few students, we're going to start doing bus delivery of some sort, whether that's a few buses to some outerlying locations, whether that's a full delivery. We then put the student work on there that wasn't picked up. When the teachers were assembling student work, we asked them to limit the amount of work to what would fit into a mailer envelope, so that if in some cases we had to mail that out, while it is costly, it's only a handful. But all 3 buildings, a majority of the parents came to get the materials. So we'll know by the end of next week how the meal piece is going and whether that's successful. We're gonna set up little pop-up tents at Guilford outside. We're gonna keep the families outside the building. It's gonna be literally curbside grab and go. And if we feel, like I said, we're missing kids, we'll start delivering via bus, and we'll take school supplies out as well.
Tim, I have 2 questions. So is the cleaning staff working regular hours that they normally would, an 8-hour day?
It will be starting Monday. They were here yesterday. Tomorrow and Friday, the building's completely shut down because in talking to different people and waiting for more information from the CDC, if we have 4 days of pretty much an empty building, supposedly the virus on hard surfaces, there's a limited lifetime that it can then be viable. So we figured that a few days of nobody in the buildings, all swipe cards get shut off tonight at 8. They get reactivated Monday morning at 6. The cleaning crew will be in Monday. And James and Jesse are working on whether that's a first and second shift or a first shift. We're going to keep the employees spread out and kind of away from each other. But yeah, they'll only be working regular hours. So I'm a little disappointed that Nancy Peck came to see me about that yesterday. And I said to her, here we are in a crisis, and we're trying to clean these buildings, and that's their job title, and that's why they're hired. And the other piece of that is, you know what, teachers and 10-month employees aren't here all summer, and the cleaning crew is here putting in regular hours. This is the same situation. So
right.
If you hear anything about that, we'll work on that. I am not interested in throwing them a bone and talking to James. He is not either. This is their job, and this is a crisis, and you kind of have to show up. You either want to work or you don't. So
I couldn't agree more.
That's where we are with that. I have very good
patience. My second question is using the buses to transport food.
Uh-huh.
Is that aidable?
Probably not, unless we learn different, because it's not being used for students. Those are considered not allowable miles, but we may get guidance somewhere down the road. You know, something may change with that. And it won't, I don't anticipate that being a full fleet, just a few buses. So I think, you know, the expense would be minimal.
Well, I would certainly hope that the governor would see that as a service to the students and make sure that that's aidable.
Yeah. What I'd like to do, and stop me if you have questions, is kind of take you down through, you've got bits and pieces of this, but kind of what the district has done. And I'm going to pass around so people here can see kind of. It's been completely crazy. We've had to register a feeding plan with the state and get that approved. I got approval back on that yesterday. We've had to register an instructional plan with the state of how we're maintaining some form of instruction for students. I sent that in, we got that approved. And then there's this piece of child care that we're being told that districts have to come up with a plan to offer child care. There's some confusion with that because some of it's medical personnel that may need to be called to a different capacity, and we have to come up with child care. Harriet Bosey's instructed all of us to put down in that form, which I did. We are not set up to offer child care at this time, so I sent that off to the state. But it's been pretty crazy because, one, there's so much uncertainty with this, and two, everything changes by the hour. So that really makes this pretty difficult. But I'll take you down through kind of some of the key dates and the key things and where we are. And like I said, stop me if you have any questions. So we are officially shut down for students from the 18th of March, which is today, through April 13th. We used a snow day Monday and we used a snow day Tuesday. So we are officially closed for kids today through April 13th. We allowed all families to come in from 11 to 7 to pick up work. Capital project construction has a standstill till Monday morning. The entire campus is closed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All the paperwork that's necessary, the 180-day plan, the instruction plan, the feeding plan, has all been filed and approved. I called the Bainbridge Food Pantry today and talked to the woman there. A lot of organizations have reached out to School Lions and Rotary, individual families wanting to help. I've steered them all to donate to the food pantry. So the food pantry is open Monday and Thursday, 8 to 10. But she did say they would open it up additional hours if needed. And they also offer the soup kitchen on Saturdays from 11 to 1 all through the Methodist Church. So I did not get in touch with the Guilford Food Pantry yet, which is held at the Methodist Church. I do have to do that. My concern is that if this drags on for a month, a lot of these families are really going to be in need of food. So she said they're currently stocked. They got a large shipment in recently, but I'm going to talk to her each week, and we'll see if there's more that we need to do. But like Rotary members have been asking, Chamber members have been asking, and I've steered everybody to the food pantry. I have daily meetings every day with the BOCES superintendents and county health. I'm doing daily auto calls to staff, to students, and via social media. Today I sent out a text message to the senior class that unfortunately we canceled their senior trip, and the prom has been postponed. That's a big thing to make sure that the juniors understand that we're going to either try to pull that off in June or September. I want to make sure that kids understand that if they purchase a dress or a tuxedo, that we're still going to hold prom. That is not canceled. We canceled the 10th grade trip to New York City. We've canceled most of the field trips. And the reason that we have canceled things sooner than later is because in order to get a refund back, we needed to let all the hotels and stuff for the senior trip know now versus waiting for a few more weeks. So I met with Mr. Grigoli and we decided to pull the plug on that.
Did the 8th grade trip cancel?
When was that and where was it?
Pershing Park.
Yes. Yep, that will be. The other thing that we're going to try to do is push the order up for all the Chromebooks. So I've got to meet with Janice and Scott. The problem is we can't get them because everybody is trying to do this at one time. We want to get devices in the 7th through 12th grade kids' hands so that we can kind of start with the teachers using the computers as a means of instruction. So talking to Scott today and Ed Monaco, they're trying to get Chromebooks. They can't get touch screen, which is what we need. So Ed's going to keep shopping around to see if we can get them. So that, in a nutshell, and I'm circulating here in the room, which I'll scan and send to all of you, is kind of what I've been doing as far as registering with the state and getting plans approved. And it's been, you know, all Saturday, I think probably 3 hours Saturday morning, I was on a Zoom call with all the superintendents. And I think one of the positives that's come out of this is all the districts have worked so close together. We've been sharing documents, sharing ideas, sharing forms, calling each other constantly. How are you doing this? How are you doing that? So that's been a positive, I think, that's come out of this. The nice thing is we're all kind of clueless to much of this. I don't know if that's a nice thing, but everybody's on the same page and at times we're floundering. I feel as though we've done a good job supporting staff. I think the administration, I only have two administrators here because others are out, and so we've had to shuffle responsibilities. I've been running Guilford faculty meetings and being in the Guilford building. I think it's important to show the staff that they're supported, and as I said to the principals yesterday, we need to appear calm and confident, even if inside we're not, because this is a scary situation, and a lot of teachers and staff are very nervous about the uncertainty with this and have elderly parents, or they're afraid they're going to take something home. We've worked with that. We do have quite a few staff with immune system issues. We've allowed them to do their shift at home. We would not force anybody to come in. We've had one staff member who's pregnant, you know, stay home, don't come to school. So we're really trying to be accommodating and really trying to be flexible for as much as we know at this time. It's just been an exhausting process, but I think parents are pretty supportive of what we're doing. And we're really just trying to make sure everybody understands that we're building this airplane as we're in it in the air, but we're trying the best we can to take care of kids and be flexible. So fire questions at me if you've got questions regarding this, anything you've heard, anything you've wondered about, and I'll answer to the best of my ability, and we'll go from there.
Are there concerns about getting the work back from students? Doing there could be illness
So what we're going to do with student work, in 2 weeks we're going to hold another day to pass out student work, and we're going to collect student work at that time. We're going to set tables up in the gyms and leave it alone 48 hours before we distribute it to teacher mailboxes, and that's kind of the plan we have in place. Everybody passing out student work today had rubber gloves on, at least here. I don't know about the other buildings and stuff. So we're really trying to be very careful. I have had two parents irate with me because we're not letting children bring instruments home. And I tried to explain to this mother this morning, who had very colorful language for me, that we are uncertain of if a child brings an instrument back to school after we've cleaned and disinfected and they blow air through that that's moist. I don't know if that reinfects kind of the areas. We don't know that. And I tried to explain this to the mother, and she screamed and swore, and then called Sue and swore, and you know, so we're just not letting instruments go home. If we find out in a few weeks that they're not, that's not a carrier of this, or that there isn't any way that this can be transmitted through them, we'll certainly call parents and say, come pick them up. But that's really the only negative piece that we've had with this.
So I have a question, just because my daughter is very well organized, and I came home to a list where she had mapped out for 9 days how she was going to do every single thing that she picked up today. But nowhere in that correspondence was any language about you're going to have to turn this in 2 weeks and pick up more work. There was really not any.
We just decided that today.
Okay, because there wasn't really any instruction on how to turn work in. Right. So is that going to go out in a letter to them?
Monday morning, we have another district incident management team meeting at 10, and we're going to put it out after that.
Okay.
We just kind of came up with that idea today with the tables and how to get this stuff back. I think it's easier for staff and kids not to bring 4 weeks of work in a month. So maybe it that way. But yes, we'll put that out.
It's really like 2 weeks worth.
Kind That's of what it's supposed
today,
to be. Yep.
And then they have their break, so there's no work over the break.
Correct? Right.
So we're looking at sending work for after the break if they deem that this extends.
Mm-hmm.
So that now until break.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had a question about the bagged lunches. I assume we're sending home, I don't know what we're sending home in the bagged lunches, but it would be different from the normal meals we were planning in the cafeteria. So is there any concern about whether we have enough of those specific things, like a bread and whatever we're sending home each day?
Kim Corcoran at BOCES is organizing that. My understanding is the bags will be a combination of breakfast and lunch food, so that we only have to do one pickup or drop off. We don't have to have parents come in twice. My understanding is it's supposed to be a meal that will not perish after a couple days. If we have some bag lunches left over here, we can kind of reintroduce that stuff. That's really all I know beyond that. I cannot tell you if it's an apple and a carton of milk and a, I don't know that answer. It's just supposed to be light breakfast and light lunch.
I do know, like, I know there's a concern about, like, shortages of things, and while our grocery stores are facing shortages, places like regional food banks and places where large amounts of food come from are not necessarily facing exactly the same shortages. So if, you know, BOCES is coordinating an effort to get the food from the bags, probably having a much easier time than our local citizens are going to the grocery store to get food. So I don't know if that helps answer your question too.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
And we're going to have to adapt and see, you know, the numbers. Like, we're planning, we have 820 some kids times two. We're planning to start that many meals per day, which is a lot. 1600 bagged lunches, that's a lot of food. So I think what we'll be able to do is change that number depending on the utilization. I sent a survey home on Friday. We started to get them back from parents, you know, with will it be a hardship being closed for a couple of weeks? Do you need food delivered? So we're getting that information compiled. We are not set up on Monday to start the bus delivery piece. I think you kind of want to watch this for a few days and see how it goes. I've had a lot of parents contact me and ask if they can take multiple bags back to Guilford to distribute to families they know can't make it. I said, absolutely. So I think we'll be okay. I'm sure we're going to have to change and adapt this process as we start it.
Can I ask another question? Yes. I know some districts, and maybe not in Chenango County, but I know some districts in Delaware County are opening up that food for more for the children in the community, not necessarily just K-12. So if you have a family that comes and they've got a child that's three and a child that's two, and they need food for those children, are we considering
aren't
that?
Currently, so? But if that's what people are doing in other communities, we may need to look at that.
Okay.
The language that we have been using is currently involved.
So we provide Head Start. So what we've done is we coordinate with each district, and so a handful of our districts are doing that. So we're not providing lunch,
mm-hmm.
and then the districts that aren't, then Head Start, we're doing essentially the same thing. But there's a handful of schools that have opened that up more towards the community and not just necessarily given the school.
Okay.
So I just was sure. curious.
We haven't yet, but that doesn't mean that we can't look at that.
Yeah.
I'm a little interested to see how this goes because that's a lot of food.
But if, but I mean, if, you know, like, we're not going to come pick up, I'm not going to come and pick up bags of food, and I think you might find that, the amount, the percentage of people that don't need the food, that aren't going to come get it because they don't need it. Maybe that, maybe that's enough of a percentage that that could supplement. Sure. You know, I don't know. I just wanted to put it out
there. I don't anticipate every family utilizing this that doesn't need it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just hoping that we can reach the outlying pockets, because really what this is designed for are those families that are free and reduced. And I think with that group, there will be transportation issues. So that's where we're going to start the muscling piece of that.
I have a quick question, and actually I have two questions and a comment. First of all, thank you, Tim, for doing such a great job with all of this. I know it's not, as you said, building a plane in flight. I know it's not easy to do that. And I'm not even building a plane. I'm just carrying a wing at Morrisville, and it's stressful. So thank you. But my question is, number one, the information that you had about the food pantry and the hours, is that anywhere on our Facebook page? Is there somewhere we could let parents know about that?
Yeah. I'm going to put that out tomorrow. So in Bainbridge, yeah, it's Monday and Thursday from 8 to 10 a.m. at the Methodist Church on Main Street. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that out to families tomorrow. I'll tweet that out. You wouldn't believe my Twitter following. I think it almost doubled because I put out a text to learn about coronavirus updates. And you could hear the phone pinging for like several hours. And
That's great.
Either that or I'll give away a car. But yes, so we'll put that out. And I got the impression from Paula at the food pantry that different organizations were going to kind of be, like she mentioned, Paul Davis and the Lions Club would be taking over the week after. So
okay.
I told her I'd talk to her every week to find out if locations change, if the soup kitchen change, or if it's just groups coming in to what's already in place. But I'll make sure we put that information out as well.
Okay. And then also, even though the school is close to students, are students still allowed to use like the tennis courts or the track, or can people bring their kids to the playground, or is that completely off off the table as well?
So we had that conversation at yesterday's district incident management team, especially about the green lawn playground. A lot of children utilize that. So
yeah.
We're not saying no, but that would be a parent. Use that as your own risk. We have no way of cleaning that.
Right.
So I guess I feel like fresh air and running
right.
are good things, and mm-hmm. sunlight supposedly kills the virus. We're not saying no, but we're not encouraging groups of kids at one time. So.
Okay, because we've already been to the tennis courts, and I thought I should ask before we keep going.
No, I think exercise and fresh air is good.
You're on a list somewhere now, Rebecca.
Right. My face is on somewhere.
Tim, along with her asking about the food pantry hours, like on WBNG, they're telling parents, if you have questions about what's happening in your district, to go to your district website.
Yep, okay.
So perhaps we can put it also there.
Yeah, Sue has it up there on the website.
Okay, perfect.
Click on the counseling services button.
Okay.
Joanne had me post a whole bunch of things there. It's right on the right-hand side. If you're looking at a laptop, it's on the right-hand side. There's a whole bunch of informational things, and one of them is that food bank list.
Okay.
I don't know if you noticed how much we appreciate Sue, but she was out over the weekend, and I had never put the banners up on the website, and they were crooked, and not. At least the information was there, because believe it or not, Saturday night I started getting emails, when's the website going to be updated? I shouldn't use that voice, we're recorded, sorry. the website going to be updated, and I got it done, but nothing was centered or the way it was supposed to be. Lime green, I did get that up there for the background. So we're doing it, we're doing our best. I think one of the biggest pieces has been trying to navigate through this with quite a few people missing from key positions. And so I think the teachers have been phenomenal. All staff has been phenomenal. So,
yeah.
You know, we're getting there.
Good.
That's all I think I have. Like I said, I'll scan and send the three of you that aren't here I created the superintendent daily log entries of everything that's been going on with this, because there's a feeling that somewhere down the road, the state is going to require
a log of how we handled this situation. So I started mine on Friday, and I've been adding to it. The other thing that I'm going to have staff do is I'm going to have them log the hours that they're working either on campus or at home, because we need to have proof that the educational service portion continued through this. So documentation, I think, is going to be key, and you just never know. So we've really been trying to err on the side of caution, and I've just been writing everything down. So hopefully the state, I'm sure they will be lenient, because there's so much uncertainty. And, you know, even the to fill out our closure log on the portal where I go in and upload information to the state, and every school is kind of counting days differently and putting different numbers in and how many days you're shut down and how many emergency days. So I think that this is just going to be all over the place, and I'm hoping that when the state, you know, decides to start looking into all this, that they're pretty lenient with this.
I just wanted to mention, I don't know if they would let school districts, but I can't see why they wouldn't. The Community Foundation of South Central New York, CNY organization respond to COVID-19, and it's a place for all nonprofits in Central New York to post the updates about what's happening with their agencies and services. And I'm just predicting that we're going to have families that don't know who else to reach out to, and they're going to reach out to the school, and it might be helpful.
Sure.
If they would, you have to put like who you're affiliated with. I can't picture them turning schools away, but the United Way is on there, agencies like mine are on there, and it'd be a good resource for us to have, I think.
All right.
It's called CNY Organizations Respond to COVID-19, and you have to like you have to request to be into the group.
Are we asking families to let us know if they or their child test positive for COVID-19?
I don't know if we can. Can we?
We can't ask that question, but I sent home a letter on Friday, I think it was, to all families. You know, if you have these symptoms, keep your child home.
Right.
A couple of parents have reached out to me and told me that their child.
Right. Is- right. That's what I'm saying. Not obviously not that we can ask them for their health information, but if they would consider letting the district know. Not that you could tell anybody about it, but I'm just thinking. Right. In terms of exposure and self-quarantining and all that kind of stuff.
We have not put that out, but like I said, a couple have shared that with me, and the results were supposed to be in today, but I haven't heard back from them, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions, anything? I'll be in tomorrow and all next week, so if you need anything or have any questions, or shoot me an email, and I'll keep you in the loop as anything changes. We'll be using autocall a lot, so.
I have a motion to accept the CFP minutes as presented.
So moved.
Dina?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 7-0. 7-0. Personnel. Certified personnel. Can I have a motion to accept all certified personnel as presented? Tim?
Second.
Mm-hmm. Discussion?
Yeah, is the agriculture full-time position here at the high school?
Yep. Okay. The ag teacher would be grades 7 through 12, teaching science classes a little bit, because the plan hopefully is to free up a couple of staff members who have tech ed degrees. The ag teacher could go in and teach some of their ag reading classes to allow them to then work with staff on the devices. And just because you're approving the creation of those positions does not mean we have to control them. So if the budget
isn't pretty. You do not have to hire an ag teacher, but you can't hire for those positions until you create the position. We do have to hire a special education teacher and an LTA. We have 7 students coming into the building in the fall that would either need a BOCES placement or a classroom here on campus. That classroom will near need boards, so we can have that set up.
Anyone? All in favor?
Aye.
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 7-0. Non-certified personnel. I have a motion to accept all non-certified personnel as presented.
Uh-huh.
Shelley?
Second.
Emily?
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 7-0. And I have a motion to accept sports personnel as presented.
So moved.
Shelley?
Second.
Dina? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 7-0. Along with that, the boys volleyball team did win the MAC championship once again.
Yep.
Very nice. Communications over to have anything in folder. Most everything's been canceled if we didn't go to. We move on to the business office. I have a motion to accept the business office as presented.
So moved.
Dan?
Second.
Shelley? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
7-0. Old business, BOE goal discussion. I think Mr. Ryan's got some.
Yeah, I sent out, I literally have not paid much attention to that until this afternoon. I tried to hammer out a few action steps. I sent you 2 models, and I'm going to pass out hard. You want to wait until everybody's in person? I'll take one. Or do you want to have a discussion now? I either. And those are very not set in concrete. I just took everything everybody said and I tried to align with the strategic plan. But again, those are not set in stone. So there are 2 different, some very similar, but there's a couple that one should have more bullets on the bottom, I think, than the other one. Yep. The thing with action steps is you have to make sure that they're measurable, accomplishable, and they can't be so broad that you're not quite sure if we did that, if we didn't do it, it isn't even possible to achieve that. So I just, like I said, I printed off the Google document and I took what everybody said, and these are not concrete or done by any means, but I wanted to start the process. So I don't know if you want to wait till our next board meeting in person. That's a not mine. So the next meeting is April 2nd. Oh yeah, the retreat is the 24th, and that's still on. And we can certainly, if you would prefer to zoom in for that, you'll miss the dessert tray from the Main Street Grill.
You can. I just might tempt COVID-19 for that.
I think this is great. I haven't had a chance to look at it. Whether it's next, whether it's a 24th or at the next meeting, I think and maybe you could respond via email to give feedback, but just a chance to digest it. And
or you could have Mike do the first half, and you could do these the second half. I mean,
would it be scheduled for Tuesday at 6:30 to 8:30?
Sure. Yeah, he couldn't be down here until 6:30. I need to remember to tell him that. Okay, bring out number. I thought one of the one bullet is missing on the top section. I think that was about the board.
It's like the third bullet.
Yeah, there should be a black dot there.
Just going to go back to the business office for a second. We approved a $600 donation from the Booster Club. I'd like to thank them for that. Moving on to old business. We're approving these. We did pay, so you're on to get through. Fourth B is D. I's legal notice of the hearing and vote and request approval of the revised IGA purchase instructional technology and services from group back on the policy. We have a motion to accept these two.
I didn't hear that clearly. Can someone repeat it or?
Bullet B is revised legal notice of the budget hearing and vote. Bullet C is request approval of the revised IPA to purchase instructional technology and services from Broome Tioga BOCES. I have a motion to accept that.
Thank you, Keith.
Yes, ma'am.
So moved.
Kellen? Second? Okay. All in favor? Aye. 7-0. Amy, thank you.
I need to change the wording for new business letter A. Okay. That resolution should be board resolution approving A. I put that together, and had Captain Mustin look at it today, the governor. Updated version that you're voting on tonight. Yep. Board resolution approving paid leave.
For new business, can I have a motion to accept the board resolution approving paid leave?
Second.
Kelly?
I may not actually have to do with this one, but it has to do with the service. Through with passing the provision now. We have a plan in place in the event that our custodial staff would qualify for leave and couldn't be here to clean the building.
I didn't hear the question.
There's a discussion at the federal and the state level about a revision to FMLA that would provide coverage for employees. Part of it has to do with this paid leave piece, and I thought that there's a possibility that there was going to be some additional kind of regulations about it, and I guess my question was, in the event that a custodial staff qualified for paid or unpaid leave under any regular stuff that came down, if we had a plan in place, if they not be here to leave.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine that it, the process would be any different than it already is. They have to apply, correct?
Yes, and then
be approved.
The way our FMLA policy is written is they have to use all their paid time first before FMLA kicks in.
I think that this, if this were to come through according to our attorney, there would be, it would be different than the typical FMLA.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if that comes to light, then that would supersede any wording and any resolution that we're approving, just as...
It's part of the legislation that's with the Senate they were discussing earlier this week. So it's coming down from the federal level, not the state level. Nothing has been passed officially. I was just asking, just in terms of being proactive and getting...
I have not heard that. I've been trying to mention it all today for me, so does anybody have any questions on this resolution, anything about the date window in that. It allows us to pay people because you can't get the funds if they're not providing service. So
and it makes sure that they are available to work and to report to work when directed to do so. It's not like
right. Said over in our faculty meetings and the district incident management, this is not a vacation. This is not leave from school. So we can call employees to work as needed. So
I think it's fine. I think it's good.
Yeah. And the reason it ends on April 3rd is because the next week is spring vacation.
Right.
So do you have to rewrite it? Do we have to do another one beyond?
There's wording in this that says I can extend it based on any sort of changes moving forward.
Okay.
Anybody? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
7-0. Yeah. Hey, planning.
Most of us canceled.
So, most of all this is canceled now.
I saw for the workers' comp, an email came today for Friday to have a telephone meeting. Is that something I should reply to and attend? I wasn't sure.
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
No dinner for you at the Gentlemen's Club, Emily.
No. Cigars and smoking room.
The evaluation workshop canceled?
I believe so because that's at SUCO and they shut their campus down. So.
When is the Bayville Policy Committee at 6 p.m.? That's myself, Shelley, and Tim.
And one thing we forgot is March 24th is our retreat.
Yes, March 24th is the retreat here at the district conference room at 6:30.
Yep. We'll have dinner. I'll try to send you guys out a menu or something to figure out. I guess most places are open for takeout, so yeah, that shouldn't hinder us.
And school events, I guess all that is...
Those things are still on, supposedly, if we come back. April
14th. 22nd is the high school spring concert, and the 24th is the Honor Society inductions, should we be allowed to have them.
Under miscellaneous, I want to talk to you about the after school child care program. You'll notice in your binders or your packets that it's a deficit that's growing. Becky Palmer has resigned effective the end of the year. I'm wondering if after that occurs,
we hire the new director at less, and we also look at raising the prices a little bit, a dollar or two a day. And Janice and I are talking about, the district was given community schools money, and it can be used for programs that aren't currently in place. So I'm wondering if we rename that and we change the structure of it a little bit. What did we get, $25,000 that's proposed. So if we end up getting that, I wonder if we can't use some of that and call it after school enrichment or after school, you know, school day extension or something like that. I hate to give up on it. We do have a lot of kids. What is hurting us is the increase in minimum wage, because we're down to 2 workers a day, which you can't do it with less than that. But by the time you add in the salary and benefits that go with that, or the, you know, the other pieces of that, that's, I think, what's kind of driving this up. So we can continue those discussions, but we are looking into being able to use the community schools fund for that for next year. So what is it? Oh, you go for it.
So the district is going to be presenting in a couple of weeks, the April meeting, a couple of change orders for the capital project. We've talked with Matco to do our wireless access points for all of our 1-to-1 devices. So in order for them to be able to do that, there's 4 change orders coming. We're going to put that through the capital project because it's much quicker to do it through the capital project than it would be through the smart bond funds. So that's the change orders that will be coming forward. I just wanted to make you aware of that to see what your thoughts were on that. We haven't put any change orders that are more than $15,000 to the board. The high school was $22,465. Green Lawn was $15,010. Guilford was $10,995. And then the technology building is $4,110 to be able to add all the wireless access points so that all the 1-to-1 devices can be used throughout the buildings without issues. Depending upon where we are with access to buildings and things, we were thinking that maybe Matco could possibly start on this because it's a lot of work and we really like to get this stuff going. So just wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on that.
Do you have a grand total?
Grand total is 234. Yeah, it was about
48,000. We'd like to utilize.
Do we have any sort of update on the bleachers at all? Have we been able to make any headway? I know you've had other things, but.
So where we are after our last meeting, in order to pull the bleachers off, we felt like we had to do it at the same time as the gym floor. It didn't make sense to do one without the other. We're pushing those to next summer.
By next summer, you mean 2020 or 2021?
2021.
Okay, so we would have the same bleachers for all of next season.
Doing a phase 3. After phase 2, we'll be going out with a phase 3 that was specifically for the gym to take care of all those issues. We're looking at packaging it together with coming at it from the aspect of it's a safety bleachers and COVID before we get this problem.
Okay, thank you.
I really, really pushed. I did not want to put that grimy floor off for another year, but we weren't able to do the bleachers yet, so it really didn't make sense to do one and then have to move those bleachers to do the floor and then put them back. And
yeah,
I'm struggling with trying to find out if companies are hesitant to give us a warranty because we have a full purpose with serving food. And we also, it's a high traffic area with kids coming from the technology building across the gym floor with slushy feet. So we've had to figure out we're going to have to buy rug and runners and cordon up the gym. So we've been working at it, but it just, there's too much involved for us to pull this off. We're starting.
Okay.
Unfortunate that we are going to have that.
Will this 48,000 impact our bottom line at all with the project or what?
These will be change orders, so it'll be, this is going to be on top of, it won't be part of the allowance mm-hmm. funds that each contractor does, but we still have plenty of funds there with the low budget, so yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why we're able to go out for me to do the MDR what should be done. Actually make some adjustments on that other floor, maybe pouring concrete on that other section, depending on
the floor has buckled so bad under the bleachers that it may be a full removal in sections and having to fix things underneath it. And just to clarify, phase three does not mean above the 16.2 million, it means within.
Yes.
So this is nothing where we're going to have to go back out and ask for more money. We're under budget, so that should take care of it. They're heavier in half, and that's kind of what's meant to be for how heavy they are.
Can I just go on a miscellaneous? I want to circle back to this. The other day I was told that the House had passed it, but it was waiting Senate approval. That would be the source that I'm looking at. It said that the Senate passed it today and it's awaiting Trump's signature. They're calling it the Family First Coronavirus Response Act. And the reason that I brought it up is because it's changing FMLA for it's covering
2 weeks. 14.
That's paid. There's a pay fee component, but the FMLA component says allows for people who are unable to work or telework who need to care for their child. Who, if the child's school or place of care is closed or the child care is unavailable due to a public health emergency, so this place say, I want to apply for this. So that reason I was bringing it up is so you could be thinking about it now and maybe get ahead
sure.
of it in the event that Trump does sign this.
Yep.
So I forwarded you this, so you could maybe ask your attorney if they know have any updates about
okay.
it.
Perfect. Thank you for that.
Urge to either launch into the Hollywood Squares theme song or the
I can look down and look up.
Emily looked a little bit like Alice in the picture.
Who do I look like?
Really?
I was saying the maid, Alice, remember her?
Oh, that's why I
love
her. Where did you get such a nice blue lamp?
Do you recognize this beautiful antique lamp?
Yo.
Are we off air?
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think.
Okay.
Sometimes because we have our federally funded.